You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about something special. It's a book called how would you explain what it's called? What's
Power of Principle or Center of Principle?
Principle, the power of being principled. Mm-hmm. And it's a book by Blaine Lee with a prologue by Stephen R. Covey. Mm-hmm. So Lisette thought this would be a good thing for us to discuss as far as relationships are concerned, the power of different types of behavior in maybe manipulation, control, or lack of it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. This is the way how you can interact with the people in different level.
So we're going to call this, what is the power in the relationship? How people get power, gain power, and maybe it's the bad way of getting power.
Yeah, definitely. And we will try to teach how is the best way
of getting power.
Yeah.
So, do you want to go right into it? Do you want to go into the discussion? And I think we do. You want me to go right to the next slide?
Yeah, the next.
We're gonna go right to the next slide. We're gonna slide in to the next slide. And let's do that. If I can find the right click, there we go.
Okay, so I create like the process of the power. So when you are in the middle and say, I can feel powerful or I can feel powerless.
Powerless or powerful in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if you want to, let me start for the powerless, is when you don't have option to do any kind of decision, and then you feel now you feel immobility. You remember our typical conversation about the people driving in the highway and have a doubt. What happened with these people?
Ah, yes.
So tell me a little bit that you have some experience when the people drive in front of you and you don't have any, the people don't know where they're going, take a left, take a right. So what happened with these people?
Yeah, they create danger for themselves and danger for other people, right? Because we have a certain sense of how we should act generally acceptable to others.
Mm-hmm.
And if you call that, let's pretend it's driving for one, there's a set of rules that we have that we're supposed to live by. And that helps us do things together safely. I mean, it's amazing that you have thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of cars on some of these roads, and people actually, the amount of accidents and the amount of people who are traveling at high rates of speed, going through construction, when they follow the rules and they're paying attention.
And again, the way I want to put the picture about doubt, when you don't know, go to the right, go to the left.
Okay.
And so many people, for not take a decision, like to live in the I don't know. So the I don't know and doubt create problems I call collateral damage, because you go the right to the left and the life. So figure out this picture and your relationship can be in work, can be in home, can be in couple, when somebody don't know what he's doing.
Right.
Not take any decision and stay driving or stop in the middle of the high speed.
So when we talked about, like last week, we talked about flight or fight, mm-hmm. or fight or flight, depending on which way you put it. And it was, you are at a point where you have to make a decision and you have to move away from the decision or move towards a fight or flight. Here's a situation, mm-hmm. I'm going to fight or I'm going to run away. And the worst decision is no decision, right? Because now you're not fighting, like it's a tiger. I'm neither running from them or fighting them. I have a knife and I just decide, mm-hmm. I'm not going to do either,
yeah,
right? And when we don't do either, we become immobile. So we're powerless, we're immobile, we have doubt what to do. And therefore, we put ourselves in danger from whatever that is.
Yeah.
We're on the road, we don't go left or right. So
it's the same in the life. So you put in danger your life and the people with you, important for you. So today in our show, I'd like to explain a little bit the power side. So if you see in the picture, we have a three category by the book of Lane Lee. He established three category of the power.
So got it.
What is the first one?
It looks like coercive.
Coercive power. The second is utilitarian, and the third is
principles. So living from a principled center. So almost kind of like paying attention to the rules, following what's correct, following what's right, doing what's right for everyone. Whereas the other, go to the other extreme of being powerful in a relationship, the coercive person is not doing what's right, not doing what is principled, but doing whatever's necessary to get their way.
Yeah, the interesting part for the first, the coercive tie of the power, they establish, and I recommend the people, it's interesting to know more, read the book, because he talking about the two types of coercity, the hard and the soft.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes the soft, for me, is more dangerous because it's some kind of manipulation, seduce that you don't know. You believe, this people is based on principle, but no, he's coerced by...
Soft coercion rather than hard coercion.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get into that in detail in the second segment of the show. I just found this really interesting that... you can look at just life in general situations and say the same things that apply there apply in relationships.
Yeah.
Because it's all similar in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to go back to that doubt piece. We talked about the doubt in immobile, and I want to go into the chart here a little bit. So when we're powerless, we have doubt or immobility. So I would also call that hesitation. We hesitate, we're saying, or put off. So procrastination, hesitation. We have all these things that stop us from making a decision. And if everyone has heard this expression, I don't know if this is an expression that's well known, but curiosity
killed the cat. Yeah.
And I don't know if that's true. I think it's curiosity put the cat in the position of seeing something, but then it was hesitation that killed the cat. The expression curiosity is, you know, don't stick your nose into the wrong thing because you're going to get injured. And it may be you stick your nose in because you may be able to help. Someone's hurt. There's a situation going on. There's something going on in the traffic. You get out there, you see what's going on, but it wasn't your curiosity that then created danger for you or for the cat, but it was then freezing. You know, the deer in the headlight.
Yeah.
You know, what's that? And it's a headlight and they don't know what to do. They don't run, they don't jump, they don't go back, they don't go forward. It's that immobility that
creates
this. Right.
Yeah.
It's not the fight, not the flight, not the left, not the right.
It's be freezing and this is the dangerous position. Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
It's not the fight. It's not the flight. It's not the left. It's not the right.
And also, you talk one topic there. Also, in Victoria Dream, we comment, and when you have some event, the be curious in the event make a different view. They feel victim or they feel victimary or feel attacking. So if you put curiosity when one situation in your life, you have better picture. Because it's like something happened to you and it's okay, let me learn what is happening.
Oh, okay.
So curiosity behavior.
So we're going to reframe this expression of curiosity killed the cat and say curiosity led to new knowledge.
Yeah.
Curiosity is the way to find out different things about different things. You meet a new person, if you're curious about them and their background and all that is helpful.
Yeah.
In the relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, curiosity isn't the problem. But when you find out something, say you are dating somebody and you are curious about their background and they give you some information that warns you of something and you don't flee, you know, like this mm-hmm. is a bad relationship. I'm learning out now, curious. I need curiosity to find out stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
And then acting.
You use the glasses for like the investigation versus the judgment, you know, because the people believe, oh, you are curiosity because you want to judge somebody. It's different than you use the glasses like that. I am in the lab and I try to investigate and learn about these without judge.
So let's go back to what is utilitarian to you? What does that mean?
Okay.
And I go back to that picture here. Utilitarian. To me, it sounds like something, but go
ahead.
Yeah,
but maybe we can learn first the hard and the soft coercive. Okay.
Really?
So, yeah.
Are you coercing me now?
Yeah, go to the next slide.
Is this hard manipulation or soft manipulation?
Yes.
Yes, it's one of the two. Okay, so if we go to the next slide, here is the next slide. Here we go. There's a lot on this, so we're going to have to unpack it a little bit, right?
Yeah. So the interesting part when I talk about the hard and soft, because obvious when you have some people try to control, because we're looking for power with somebody, okay? Can be power for relationship. I want to be powerful and I want control you. I can do like the first line that you have there. So you can be forced. You have to be in control. You treat. You try to put a scare to the people, you know? And you can be ridiculous, like the people ironic, make a sarcastic joke. This is hard, coercive behavior, okay? Invalidate. So you can do a lot of this kind of create this kind of situation in your relationship, and this is called hard focus.
So let's stick with that for a moment here, because there's a lot on that slide.
Yeah.
So repression, like if you're repressing the other person from making decisions, from having a view, is there an example of that?
Yeah, no, so one of the good example in the book, they talking about also parents and child. So sometimes the parents try to be repression because believe this is the best for the kid to teach or keep discipline, but sometimes it's not a good way because the kid feels scared of the parent versus they do some kind of other treatment.
So the old way, when you have your own house, you can have your own view.
Yeah, that's
you can repression. Make your decision when you have your own house.
Yeah.
But when you're living under my roof, you do what I want.
Yeah, I never say that. I move and not breathe the air as my son. That's it.
Hey, it's what
happened? I don't want to have repression.
Remove the roof. We took the roof off. So force. Now force is that exactly what you say? Like you're like, is this physical force or it's
it can be psychology force. So you can force somebody to do something. So if you not do this, I do that. I force you to do some, put the presentation. So that's like that. But in some relationships, you can feel the couple forced to do something by condition, and this is coercive hard behavior.
So when you don't want to do something and you feel you're being forced, it's whether it's what is it, covert or overt? Covert being more of the soft focus where somebody forces you to do something, but they're not
okay,
out
so
there.
Put the soft one because
you want to see that. Well,
yes.
We'll talk about soft, but there's so many.
This is the point that be different between one to the other because soft is more confused, you know, distortion. Seduce. If you do that, my love, I do this, and that is coercive too.
So
but
you've
it's
been soft. You have a soft focus of coercion.
Yeah.
Coercion. Yeah.
And then you can start to be in control without you know because. Is sometimes the cheating part is when people make us also some kind of agreement and backwards do something different, you know, hiding information.
Okay.
So that's is the difference between soft and hard.
No, I see that. And I mm-hmm. think we're going to take a break now. And we're going to come mm-hmm. back to this because I want to go more in depth in this. Because I see these, both the hard and soft focus, under coercive. But I also see this in how we relate to different people where they have different personalities. Is that some people we have to be straightforward with. This is what we want. This is what we need to do. And others, we have to be more gentle and more passive. Mm-hmm. So it's active versus passive in the communication style we have. So even though this is for coercion, it can also be used for convincing, mm-hmm. right? To come to an agreement, cooperation. So
we see that when we discover the next type is like the utilitarian.
That's
utilitarian, yeah.
Maybe I'm jumping ahead. We'll be right back after this message with 90 Day Soulmate. With Lizette
and Jim.
Right back after this.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about power, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to relationship or relationships or one or multiple ones, whatever, and, whatever the case may be.
In different areas, so in the work, in the house, in the family.
So what we're learning here about how you can relate with your partner or a friend can be also how you relate to people at work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's all about relationships.
Exactly.
So we were working on this list before of hard focus versus soft focus. And I guess, what is the main difference between hard and soft?
The point is how the people delivery the situation or the message
right.
or the communication in one situation. So sometimes the hard focus is more aggressive, obvious in the situation. The soft sometimes can be confused, like they say, or make it difficult to catch.
Okay.
But in both way it is coercive.
So I think what we're talking about is the covert versus overt is what we said before. Covert being undercover, not as obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who manipulates or coerces who isn't, you know, you can't really see. Whereas when it's that in your face coercion, it's forceful, it's...
And also sometimes it's not intentional. You need to understand is people is not aware the only way they make any transaction use this because the people learn from that. So maybe some people can create confusion in one situation because it's the only way unconscious they make a treatment or make a solution. So this is something that people maybe is not aware.
So let's talk about a guy that when he's a young kid, he's a little bit bigger than the other kids, just has a weird way about him, and the kids don't like him. But he finds that through intimidating others, he can, one, get them to do things. He can get them to play with him.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're playing with me today. We're playing I Beat You Up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that what works for him may not be people wanting to hang out with him because he's
he
learns
this,
that.
This way. Also, the seducer, we're talking about sometimes the power zone woman, the seduce mm-hmm. the boss or seduce the husband or also the kids mm. in some way to achieve because maybe she learned about this is the way that my mama do with my father and she has so successful, so I repeat the pattern.
Okay, but seducing you have under the list of soft.
Yeah, it's a soft.
Because it's seduction is done in a way where maybe the person doesn't actually realize they're being seduced.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, because it's unconscious.
So when you make like wonderful dinner for me, I don't realize
maybe I seduce you.
But But I guess the other would be is you make a horrible dinner and you say, you're doing this anyway. You know, right?
So I learn about hard and soft, yeah. Of course.
You got to cut the grass. You're cutting the grass now. Okay, fine. Hey, you know what? I want to make this wonderful dinner after you cut the grass. So I'm thinking of pasta or a steak.
When what you couldn't the grass.
I'll start working on it while you're cutting the grass. Uh-huh. So that's more of the, right? I'm thinking of making a dinner while you're cutting the grass rather than go and cut the grass. Yeah. So it's, and part of that though is, I know it's we call it coercion in this episode of 90 mm-hmm. Day Soulmate. But part of this is figuring out the language that the other person you're dealing with needs. And and maybe that point that I was just making, hey, I'm thinking of making pasta or steak while you're cutting the grass, which one would you rather have me make mm-hmm. while you're cutting the grass?
Right? And repeat three times.
Three times. This is a great day for cutting the grass.
It's
so
sunny.
Beautiful out. Would you like me to get you some iced tea while you're cutting the grass? Right? But the point is that you could have one person say that and the other could be like, hey, Jimmy, cut the lawn, right? You know?
Yes.
So you know, one is the soft way of doing it. Now, let's say for granted, mm-hmm. Lizette may be saying, hey, Jimmy, cut the grass, because she's tried all this stuff about, I'm going to cook you pasta or steak when you're cutting the grass. I'm like, oh, okay, sure. And I just am reading my While Victoria Dreams book, and I'm just so enthralled with this that I don't do the cutting of the grass, where at some point maybe she gets upset and angry and comes out with a hard focus and says, cut the grass.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But the interesting that I learned from this list, maybe we can put again,
sure.
is sometimes we acting in this way without knowledge, so just with no intention, you know. It's like that you say the example of the kid. So yep. I learned to be ridiculous, like the people make a fun to other, and this is the way they have power with the group. And you know the bullying part, so many kids, is more bullying, you become leader on one group because it's make a castrate of the person by your stuff. So that is something that the people grew up and feel this is the way they feel power.
So utilitarian power.
Mm-hmm. So that is more like the win to win. So it's when you wanna try to do transaction with somebody and then you feel the both side win in the transaction.
So that can be part of it. Utilitarian, so the greatest good for all.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what utilitarian means, right? Greater good is like what is best for society, what's best for the team, what's best for us as partners.
Mm-hmm. And also can be for business. So more you use this because you say, I want to buy this book. Okay, so you give me $20 and I say, okay, bro, now you don't pay shipping because you have already here in your hand. So we have win-to-win how you make a transaction and you can have power with this.
So transactional is also, I mean, you talk about marketing. I think one of my first courses in marketing going through my classes years ago and was talking about transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this pen and you have $5 and I say, I can sell you this pen.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I want $5 for it. And you're like, $5, that's too much.
But how about two pens?
Two pens for
$6.
For six, maybe. Where I'm going with this is there's a dollar value where the pens to you are worth it. So say it is the $5 for two or $6 for two pens, $5, $6. There's a transaction that they're equivalent value, meaning you got to a point where it was worth it, where that $6 was an even exchange. You're getting something that transactionally, and I'm willing to give these to you because now I can use the $6 and then I can make two more pens and a red pen and a black pen with those $6 and now go back out into the market and sell them again. So for me, part of the money that I'm getting, these pens are worth less to me than they are to you. Why would that be? Because I manufacture hundreds and hundreds of thousands of these.
Yeah, yeah.
And you only need them. But the transactional piece of that is that based upon why you need these pens, you need to sign a contract right now. And with that contract, if you're going to sign it, you're going to visit a customer, you want to have a nice pen to sign the contract with them, this pen might be worth $20 to you because I need it right now, I need it fast. So value and transaction, you both are getting something out of it.
Yeah, and the point for utilitarian power is you can use and both sides feel okay because if you don't agree this transaction, nothing happened. So I say, I don't want to buy. I don't be hurt. You know, force me in the other power, you know. You know, treat me like that. You buy this or you don't live in this room, you know. So this is more soft. But the point for this, we can see the different type of the utilitarian is because you have knowledge or you have transaction or the product or you are expert in something or you have the opportunity because I need right now because I need to sign the document. So you have power because it's the opportunity in the moment, in the right moment, in the right situation. You have the resource. So this different kind of the power utilitarian is become a one way that you can have power, but not necessarily a long term, because when the transaction finishes,
so it's more transactional. Okay.
I can see you again the next week, and you offer the pen. I say no, I don't want to buy.
I have,
and you don't feel powerful. You know.
So, and the reason I haven't gotten back to the slide yet is something popped in my head here, which was free market. Mm-hmm. You have the free market to get this pen from anyone. I have the free market to sell this pen to anyone. You're not forced to buy it from me. You may have an opportunity, a need for it now. And I think those are some of the things we'll look at in a second here. But it's not like your utility company, which is kind of funny, because your utility company, if you're in a house or an apartment, you need electricity. You need it for the air conditioner. You need it to cook. You need the gas. You need it. And so utility companies provide a public good, but you don't have an alternative, right? So are they really utilities?
It's coercities.
Coercities. difference between utilities and coercities.
They have the resource, you know? So they have the resource, so they have a power.
They do, but they also have a captive market, right?
So resource and opportunity because, yes.
So here are some of the things that give power in utilitarian where it is for the greater good. But there are nuances to all these things too, right? So you can be it can be utilitarian power, but there can be a little bit of no alternative.
And then you can use for some transaction, like that we're talking about maybe in business, but sometimes in home, they are interesting example when the guy say to the son, I have a $10 cut the grass,
right.
And I coming back this afternoon. And when he coming back, the grass, the son not cut, and the front, he found the son and the neighbors cutting the grass to the neighbors. They say, what happened? No, he offered 20, and the transaction, 10, 20, I cut the grass with the neighbor. So, is utilitarian? Yeah. But he lose the power because in this moment, the transaction versus the maybe, if we have the next one that we see later is the principal power, you maybe can cut the two grass. It has so, $30 in your pocket.
you can do that. But what I find funny is now the son or the child has the $20 instead of only the 10. And the father says, hey, you still have to cut the lawn because you live under my roof right now. So this is coercion, right? In a hard coercion force. You live under my roof, you cut the lawn. And now I'm not paying you the $10, right? So now you cut two lawns for $20.
And then the son says, Dad, I beat you $50.
Yeah, I pay you $15 to cut the lawn yourself.
And I go eat it with my mama, the pasta she made.
The pasta she made. So, should I make you pasta or steak while you cut the lawn, son? That's good. So going back to some of these other ones in here, so information. So sources of power, like let's talk about information power. Mm-hmm. Now, that could be that you're dealing with someone like a lawyer and you need the lawyer in order to get something done because you have to fill out a legal form for the county or the state. And you can't do it yourself because you don't know what the proper procedures are.
Yeah.
So now that lawyer has information power.
No, and also the I feel for people is not good in technology. So say I wait for my son. I have a friend that she say, I have a two son. One is good in IT and he is my IT guy. When I go home, he set up my computer because she don't have the knowledge for installation software. And it's a power information. He has more information, and she feel like the pen of this person.
And so that day, he didn't have to cut the lawn.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. So let's look at reward. What does reward power mean? That was one of the first ones on here.
The first thing we saw, win to win. So it's when you have a one market transaction. So.
But let's look at another reward power. And, you know, let's talk about kids playing sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the coach goes, hey, if we win today, I'll take you all to Dairy Queen.
Okay.
You know, is that a reward power? I can coerce using, you know, ice cream if you win.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, or if you win, you're going to get a medal. Mm-hmm. You know, that is, to me, that's a reward. Or you get paid a bonus if you get this done by today.
This target, yes.
Right? So, mm-hmm. Position power. What's a position power?
That is interesting. When you have your boss and your office and... your boss have power with you because he's
right.
Your boss. So now we're talking a topic about feel powerful because position versus, like we call authority versus responsibility.
Okay.
So that is a mean position power.
How about charisma power? That was one of the other ones. Charisma power.
Is the person that they have this kind of skill to move people because it is good spoken, create some kind of relationship, and then...
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's charisma. Oh, come on, let's go do this. Yeah, this is going to be fun. Let's all go. Hey, you don't want to be left out. We're going to have a great time. Come on with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's the charisma, the power, the talking, the motivation, like a good motivational speaker, a pastor or a public speaker or a politician, right?
That's people powerful without any transaction. Your speech move people.
So there was a song called Cult of Personality.
Mm-hmm.
Which may also be a term, but cult of personality is where the personality of that person has become so in larger than life that people are drawn to that person. A lot of times this is celebrities and stars and sports people, politicians, that they've gotten so much larger than life that not only do they have that position power because they're famous... Right, so this is now a idolized person, but they also speak really well, and people are just following them because I don't know why. I just feel like I should do what they tell me.
Yeah. So that's his charisma.
Do you want to go to that other?
Okay, but maybe we have a break.
We're gonna have a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more about power in relationships, and I think we're getting to principles, the power of principles in a relationship, right when we come back. Welcome back to 90 Day Power Mate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about power. Power with our mates, power at work, power in society. Power with their children?
Power your own?
So, it's 90 Day Soulmate, yes, we know. But we're talking about power, we're talking about coercive power, principle power, utilitarian power.
And now?
Well, we're back to principles.
Principles.
So we're going to look at the principle power. So here the list of principles. Wander through this, if you would, Lizette, for me. Wander through this.
Yeah, so the third category, because we come into the first, is more like the really difficult and not long-term. So the point here is how much you are powerful in long-term with people.
Okay.
Because in the coercive, people want to leave home when you have a parents that coerce you. Or you want to divorce because you're tired for that. Or you want to separate or change the work, other employee because... this is not a good place for
you. So let's go back to that piece. So coercive is, it's it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. It's the
half a power,
because you feel like you have to do it. Yeah. But you're almost like at the end of the day, you're angry about it, right?
And then that's half a short term. So in one moment, the power not keeping control because the people.
It drains the battery, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. The battery is not, lose the battery.
Okay, so the battery is lost. So the second one we talked about was the transactional one, which we called utilitarian.
So you do the transaction, but this is can finish in this moment. If the people don't need the information or don't need the resource, you don't have power.
So I think there's an example of this in, and I don't know where this comes from, but I think it's something we did a long time ago. We were talking about people in a position and where they have power and not. Mm-hmm. So a police officer has power when it comes to their position in, okay, I was just driving, I crossed the street at the wrong spot. Whatever it is, that police has a power due to their position.
By the position, yeah.
But if they suddenly become a baseball coach and they're wearing a police uniform, the police uniform as a baseball coach, they don't get power as a coach because they're dressed up as a police officer. It had to do with the what is that called? Congruency of the position to the situation, the context, and how where it matches, it gives the power, and where it doesn't match, it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. So if we see the principal power. So one of the first is integrity. So we're talking about the long-term power. Something, and I guess that the best example is when you admire somebody. Can be your grandfather, can be your coach, that you say the baseball coach, can be, and this person is integrity. This person is consistency. Is the person that they teach you, that you learn so much, they have empathy communication, you feel this connection. This person can call you today and say, hey, I need you pick me up. I am in the airport. I lose my car.
So somebody who tells you what they're going to do, does it. They do what they say they're going to do. They always act in a way consistent with how they've always acted. Mm-hmm. It's not this time they act this way. This time they coerce you. This time they hold power over you because...
Mm-hmm. Or seduce you and the chain. So it's the person that does not have integrity. It's not consistent. So you start to lose. If you don't have this skill, you start to lose power. And also I see this when I out a company, I see leadership. Mm. And I see that the leadership sometimes is not consistency when the speech or say, okay, we do this. You can change the decision, but you need to be really transparent to explain why there's somebody changing, no jumping to one action versus the what did you try to create, or like that you say, follow the rule in the organization and you do something different.
So we're the best, our quality is the top notch, and here are our best pens ever. And of course, in the background, in the factory, the spring that's inside the pen you found is subpar. You've been buying it from a supplier really cheap. And the spring that's supposed to pop it back and forth breaks. And as a leader, you allow it to still be sold. And now your organization knows that you as the leader are saying, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Get these pens out there. There'll be some people who are like, okay, it's the boss said to do it. We're just going to do it. And then other people are going to start losing respect because the integrity. So position power carries you so far, but long-term principle power can keep
that
power going.
It's a hard way. It's a long-term. But if you demonstrate every time that you are integral, that you are aware in situation, that you are consistent when you do versus what you say versus what you do, these two topic is create a good relationship, and then you have power also for couples. So if you live with somebody and you always see the person is integrity, the person keep this, if you missing one of these, maybe start to break your power. So your power is you losing power.
So the consistency piece, and that's why I brought the slide back up, is that the consistency, I think, is very important.
Yeah.
Is that sometimes, and I'll go back to this, is that years ago. I don't care if you're, you know, conservative, progressive, whatever your views are. I don't care. If you keep certain views and certain ways of thinking and they're consistent, and I can learn to trust you in your views and behavior, there will be people that may have charisma at, oh, they like, they're good to be around for a fun evening at a restaurant. But if you were stuck on an island, you know, your boat crashed on an island, I'd rather have somebody with opposite views of me that was, had integrity and consistency in their behavior. Because then when they said they were going to do something, whether I agreed or disagreed with it, they would do that. Rather than the charisma person who would be like, oh, yeah, I'll take care of that. And you're like, oh, great, he'll take care of that, or she'll take care of that. And then they don't. So it's much better, and we need, and this is part of the things that I think that all of us can benefit from, is that we may have friends, or maybe they're not our friends, who have views completely different than ours. And a lot of times, if we respect these views because that's actually what they believe and feel, and they grew up a certain way and learned a certain way, that these are true views to them, that if we can respect that and trust them in their behavior, it's much better than a friend who has our exact same views, but you'll say, hey, meet me here, and they will meet you, then they won't meet you, and then that. I'd rather have a friend I disagree with politically, but I can trust. When they say something, they're going to do it.
And again, doing with the, I just thinking that you have four friends, and maybe one of these is not consistent. The person that change their mind every second, they say something and do something different.
Right.
And you have to pick one for one, like that you say, one weekend. You don't want to pick the people, you know, you pick the people consistent, the people that you know, that you trust. You feel also confidence with some person like that.
So sometimes it's picking the team player rather than the one person who's a superstar but doesn't care about anyone else. So let's finish these off here. What does teach and learn mean? Teach and learn others? And learn from others?
Yeah. So when you have this skill first for learn, of course, like that you feel so, humility for learn in any situation, but and also teach, like they say, when the boss have the change the mind in the organization, need to have the humility to learn what happened and also teach with the team what is the changes in the organization.
I want to say, which is kind of funny about this. I was having this conversation. There's a, I don't want to say it's emotional intelligence. Let's say there's a certain level of intelligence where you realize you still have more to learn. And that is where you have the humility to know that. There's the opposite, where some people have less of this emotional intelligence in this area, where they think what they know is everything, and they don't want to learn, they don't want to listen, they don't want to consider that what you have to say may be valid.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a actual theory behind this, is that the smarter you approach from an intelligence standpoint, like I'll say an emotional intelligence, it doesn't mean you're smart or not smart. It means how you recognize people around you in the world. Is the more you recognize that you have something to learn, the more you can get along with people, accepting new opinions, new beliefs, and new views. It doesn't mean you're necessarily changing yours and going from here to here and therefore not being consistent. But you're consistent in how you value and treat people.
Yeah. And this is other characteristic for that you can have power with the people or your relationship of your team or your, depend the context of you're talking about. And the other is empathy communication, because people can communicate in different way, but be empathic is not easy, you know, because maybe your speech is judging people, or maybe your communication is you talk and nobody talk because you're not allowed to people talk, or you really not connect with the person. You can be a bit talker, but no communicate.
I got it. Mm-hmm. So you listen, but you're not actually feeling how they feel, meaning understanding how they feel. It doesn't mean if they're sad, you have to become sad, but you have to feel for them that I understand they're sad. If there's anything I can do to help you, rather than, I feel sad, just like you in this situation,
Or start to tell your history, typical. Okay, you're sad. You know what happened with me? More sad last week because I have these problems. And the people want to talk with you, not listen your history. So that is when you are aware the situation. Be aware is I guess, one of the step really difficult that I try to practice every day because is the, I guess, the first tool to handle everything. So you have to be aware where we are, what are we doing, and connect with the people around you.
That is. And let's talk about this, which is the most important of all. The most important of all is
the more powerful is love.
Is love. And explain that in principle. Is that loving people and just tell me what you think of when you think of love.
This is a difficult question.
Everything. Go ahead. Here's some books on it. I think the love piece is showing love and consistent love. And I think choosing to love, in the situation.
And also, in my own theory, you have to feel love in yourself. Okay? So when you feel this love in yourself, you can share with others. Okay. But if you're yourself, you feel empty or you feel sad, it's difficult to feel love. So I guess the first exercise is try to recognize where is your love and then how you share this love with others.
And you opened up a little thing here. One is you need to love yourself. You have to also understand that, you can't blame yourself for things, but you can accept responsibility for part of what caused something to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think many times there are relationship people out there who say, if that person treated you badly, if they did that, you have to love yourself. But you also have to understand that it just may have been a situation where you just didn't fit with each other, that one of you was always coercing the other or felt like maybe the other person was a hard coercer. And you were a soft coercer because you know that if you tried to do hard, you'd get into a fight. But you would try to seduce your partner. And your partner would try to just tell you to do stuff. Because the point is that when you recognize that your communication styles, the way that you exhibit power is different than someone else, mm-hmm. is the whole idea behind this is to understand how long-term principle power is a way that doesn't offend, mm-hmm. doesn't injure, isn't transactional, and can continue and last for a long time.
Yeah, and this is a long way, or generally, the people have to take. And you take a decision which one you want to be.
And I think sometimes, depending on the situation, the context, the saliency, we mm-hmm. choose to be all of those. It doesn't mean we lose them all. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get really upset because our utility billed us incorrectly and we get on the phone and we yell at them. I'm going to post all over Facebook how bad you are, and you're trying to threaten them, and now that's not principle. You may try to change it into principle, saying you guys are a really good company. You do this all the time, meaning you do really good things all the time. But in this case, you're doing this. And you try to open their eyes to where they're not being consistent. Mm-hmm. And now you're in the principal side and you're trying to have it. This is almost like that adult to adult conversation,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, versus this. And I guess the key point, like you say, we can have different situations in the life. We can have different relationships, short and long term. But recognize what kind of tool we use, make it that we become more strong. Because the idea for this theory that we share in this show is try to see how you are with your lovely people, with your son, with your daughter, with your parents, with your sister, brothers, and your couple.
So again, is it a coercive getting something done right now? Mm-hmm. Not caring of the consequences, just using hard or soft coercion? Is it utilitarian, which is transactional, which again, taking care of this thing right now, but it's something that's only valuable and useful right now? Or is it principled? Is it a way that you can grow and do things and make decisions together with the people?
Yeah.
Keep the relationship and, above all, love.
Love.
Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.